is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL broadcast partners, and Bauer Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, welcome to the show. Everyone talking about Connor Bedard and the goal the Regina Pats 16-year-old scored in Calgary. Connor, also named the WHL Player of the Week. He'll join us in moments to kick off the show. The Kelowna Rockets are quietly going about their business, but the recent run they've had is getting some attention now. Head coach Chris Millett will share what's going on there. Tri-City Americans and NHL draft eligible forward Parker Bell continues to develop his game at 6'4". He's ranked 93rd in North America in the NHL Central Scouting midterm rankings. The forward from Campbell River, BC, is hoping to finish strong. He'll be our guest. First up, it was the goal heard round the hockey world.
Bedard to bring him up for Regina. One on two. Step by the defenseman to the net. The Deke, and he scores. Oh my. Does it get any better than that? Connor Bedard puts on a show. He finds the back of the cage. Building buzzing on the road. Regina back in this thing. Trail it 2-1.
Now, Brad Curl on the call there. Connor Bedard's one-on-one move, followed by a between-the-legs goal in Calgary, grabbing the headlines. I asked Connor about the goal, the WHL Player of the Week award, and the Pats' playoff push. Connor, how long did it take for you to realize you did something a little out of the ordinary that turned out to be pretty special?
I don't know. I mean, after the game, you know, you kind of go on your phone and you see it a bit. So then, you know, I think kind of then you realize people are into it, but, you know, in the moment you're kind of just playing and you don't know, what the reaction will be, but it was definitely cool to see the reaction off it.
Okay, take me back, because in Calgary you always look up at the big screen, right, because they have beautiful replays there of everything here. What was the reaction? I don't know if you went to the bench to watch it or you were still on the ice. Take me back to that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of after every goal, you know, anyone scores on a team, you know, you kind of look up at the Jumbotron and you watch it again, and you know, I mean, I didn't think too much of it. Obviously, it's one of the nicer goals, you know, I scored. But, you know, you kind of don't think too much of it in the game. You're just happy you scored. And, you know, we kind of need that one to start off that period.
And I'm thinking back to, you know, when the players get on the bus on the way home afterwards and you're on your phone and you're seeing who's talking about it, who's retweeting it, who's picking it up here. What was that like to be around the guys? I know you lost the game, which is tough, but to have that, you know, get to the top of Sports Center and, you know, national media outlets picking it up, you're seeing this all sort of transpire in live time on your phone on the bus on the way home.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we lost, so it wasn't, you know, as much of a thing. It's kind of, you know, like a 5-minute bus ride to our hotel, and then you know, you go eat and you kind of go to your room, and you know, I think, I don't know what time it was, but then you kind of hang out later after you kind of thought about the game and stuff. So I mean, you know, it wasn't really as much of a reaction, you know, from the team until the next day. You know, they're kind of, you know, joking about it and stuff, but it was, like I said, it was pretty cool to see kind of the reaction that it got.
I won't talk too much about the goal here. We have to move on and talk about the playoff push here for you. But when you see it on, you know, TSN, a 1v1, it's the champion right now. It knocks off, you know, a NHL goal. We're seeing, you know, some NHLers talk about it as well on SportsCenter. What's that like to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely weird whenever you turn your TV on and you kind of see yourself, you know, the odd time. So it's pretty special. I mean, just to, you know, see, you know, even like kids trying it and stuff, you kind of, you know, it's cool. You can kind of inspire some kids and, you know, get that reaction off it.
Real quick, though, have you ever pulled that off in practice or anything? I know it's sort of two-dimensional because you have to beat a defender and score the goal, but is this something you've ever done before?
I mean, when you're younger and, you know, you're beating guys more often and you do it, you kind of, you know, when you get older, it gets harder to find yourself in that situation, but you know, you definitely have to do it in practice, just kind of having fun. You know, it was kind of just in the moment. I thought it was the best play, and, you know, it ended up working out.
Okay, so 28 games to go in the regular season. I know the focus is to get back into the playoff spot. You're 5 points out as we speak. You're coming off a pretty big week, but yet, you know, you guys obviously have to get back in the win column here. So what's your focus? What's the Pats' focus heading into the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we got to win. You know, you look at it, we're a few points out, and, you know, we haven't been winning. I think we've been playing pretty well. You know, there's been a lot of close games that are kind of, you know, have been heartbreakers and those sort of losses. But we got to start, you know, we got to start pulling them off, and, you know, we got to win, kind of get on a roll here.
You get another shot at Calgary here coming up this weekend, and then you're into Saskatoon Saturday. So it's time probably for you guys to make some hay in the standings.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think every game we go into, we feel like it's a winnable game, and you know, these are teams that are we've had close games with. I mean, Calgary going to overtime twice, and then Saskatoon kind of our second goal at them that beat us. So, we know we can win, and we're going to go in there and, play our game and try to do that.
Well, it's an incredible goal. It's a candidate for goal of the year. We'll see what else the league comes up with. It seems like there's always somebody trying something that makes headlines here. It's been a very exciting year for that, and we appreciate you stopping by WHL this week. Have a great weekend, Connor. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by Bauer Hockey.
The Western Hockey League is deeply saddened to learn of the passing of former Regina Pats forward Brad Horning. Horning passed away Tuesday evening following a brief but courageous battle with cancer. He was to turn 53 on Sunday. Horning, a native of Regina, played two seasons with the Pats, registering 101 points in 126 regular season games played. On March 1st, 1987, Horning's playing career came to a premature end when he suffered a severe spinal cord injury following an on-ice collision, rendering him a quadriplegic. Though his playing days came to an end, Horning remained close to the game of hockey, serving as a scout for many years, including stints with the Chicago Blackhawks and the NHL Central Scouting Service. He remained a fixture at the Brandt Center in Regina, where his number 8 hangs from the rafters, having been retired by the Pats. In April of 1988, the WHL restructured its awards format, including the introduction of the Brad Horning Trophy, awarded annually to the WHL player who best displays the same attributes as Brad: talent, desire, and an unmistakable sportsmanlike attitude. Each year, Brad looked forward to joining the latest class of promising WHL stars at the annual WHL Awards Gala, where he would present the Brad Horning Trophy to the most sportsmanlike player. Now, despite the adversity he faced, Horning pushed forward, completing his high school education before eventually pursuing and receiving a Bachelor of Arts degree in history from Campion College at the University of Regina in 1996. He continued to prioritize ongoing education at the University of Regina and was recognized for his courage and perseverance with an honorary Doctor of Laws degree back on June 8th of 2018. The Kelowna Rockets recently put together an 8-game winning streak. They're in the hunt for the BC Division title, trailing Kamloops but holding games in hand. Regan Bartel, voice of the Rockets, spoke with coach Chris Millett about the development of his team this season.
We've got some players that I see day in and day out. Obviously in a game when there's physical contact and different facets to it, it's not as apparent. But I do see our guys working extremely hard in practice and in those types of plays, and the best thing for me as a coach is watching, drill transfer into a game, right? Like that fruition of them, like doing a drill over and over and over in practice throughout the week and then executing it to a tee and scoring a goal. And, it's funny because on the bench they'll look back and they'll be like, Mally, there it is, they know. And there's a reason why we do certain things. Our team does things well, but also puts themselves in a good spot. But the skill aspect of it, I think we have some guys that are very, very skilled, and it's by committee.
Yeah, you guys are quick too. There's some good speed there, maybe deceptive speed.
Yeah, but I work these guys. I really do. It's all about speed. It's all about challenging yourselves, challenging the opposition, and if you can't skate, you can't play, and a lot of our guys are very good at it, so happy for that.
Yeah, let's take a look at the offense of your hockey club. Again, we were questioning where you would find goal production from, but you look at the data. You got 12 players on your roster with 20 or more points.
We talked, let's go back to some of our first conversations. We talked about the committee scoring by committee. Our defense have to be involved. We need good goaltending. But, 20 point guys, having 12 of them, and it's just going to keep growing. I think that, the more and more our guys get comfortable, in that third and fourth line, per se, and building that, the trust in doing the simple plays and getting that more ice time, I think everybody's going to be chipping in. But it's a great stat for our group, and it's going to be or it has been the thing that's been carrying us through it. You know, if it's one line that needs to be shut down, well, then another line has to pick it up. And we've got guys that are doing it, and, you know, we're going to definitely need it moving forward.
Melly, is there a player on your roster where he has to be going all the time? He kind of leads the way almost by, he does by just the actions on the ice. I mean, you look at years gone by, there was always one player. Like, if he was on, it seemed like, you know, his teammates followed. Is there one guy on your roster that can do that for you? Or, again, you talked about just the fact you're scoring by committee and everybody can kind of pull on the rope.
Well, I think we're going to lean on a lot of, you know, our veteran players, I guess, you know, Colton Dogg, I think Jake Poole, Mark Lewiski. I think those guys up front, when Andrew Crystal is moving his feet and able to pick people apart with his vision. I'd say, again, I just named five guys, but there are a group of our players up front that are very effective when they're dialed in, and it's that consistency that we're looking for. On the back end, I think it's the real catalyst to our group in regards to, you know, they set the tone with their gap. Their aggressiveness, their ability to shut down plays early. You know, I find that when we get in trouble, we're a little lazier getting up the ice. If we turn a puck over, then, you know, the gap is compromised, and then, you know, they get quality chances. But, again, the committee aspect of it, we're getting great goaltending right now as well. So, I mean, it's given us a chance each and every night that when we do have some guys that aren't per se going, other guys are always there to pick them up.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Tri-City Americans forward Parker Bell is trying to be a big piece of turning the AM season around. He's NHL draft eligible and also has his eye on the upcoming draft.
I mean, like, yeah, you said it. I think it could be a little better team-wise. I think I've been in a little bit of a slump lately, but I'm just trying to get out of that right now, and it happens. Hope just keep going tonight and hopefully have a good one.
What do you do to try to get out of a slump? What's sort of your mentality when you're, you know, faced with something like that?
I think just preparation. Come to the rink a little bit earlier, maybe. Mindset, just visualize, and that's all I really do.
You're from Campbell River, so these games up north, do they mean a little extra special to you? It's the first time the Tri-City Americans have been up this way in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here. I mean, it's obviously a pretty electric barn. I love being here, and yeah, these north games are always nice to play.
You've been sort of all around. You grew up in Saskatchewan. I believe you actually have a little bit of a connection with teammate Ethan Ernst when you guys were younger. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, we grew up playing against each other since we were 8 years old, and now we're living together. It's pretty cool.
Campbell River, I noticed during the WHL as they waited for their season to happen, the hub season or just the condensed season for developmental, you actually went back and played some Junior B with the Campbell River Storm. What was that experience like?
It was all right. It was a pretty good team there for Junior B. It was a fun time. I had nothing really else to do. Yeah, I thought it was a good time there.
Tri-City, this year, you're back. It's your draft year. We talked about that off the top, the 93rd ranking. How much are you paying attention to sort of where you sit with your peers and what else is out there, Parker?
I don't really buy into that stuff too much. I just try to go out there and play my game. That's really it. I mean, that stuff doesn't mean too much to me. I mean, obviously you want to be higher, but at the end of the day, it's a ranking's a ranking.
I look at you and I see a big body guy, 6'4" guy. You know, NHL scouts love that type of size here, but explain to me what your game is all about.
Speed. I think I got a lot of speed to bring to the table. I got a hard shot, and I feel like my hockey IQ really comes into play when I'm out there.
So what have you focused on this year as far as maybe trying to improve an aspect that maybe, you know, you've been asked to improve or you want to personally improve?
I would say maybe that 5 foot speed, just like right off the hop. I feel like I get speed going really quick, but like it's 50-50 battles in the corner, just 5 feet away. I feel like that's something I've been working on a lot.
You have a new head coach this year in Stu Barnes. What's the transition been like this year?
He's awesome. He's a great coach. He's taught me a lot, and I feel like I've learned a lot from him, and hopefully we can just keep it going.
I know it's been tough with the season there. It seems like there's a lot of good teams in the Western Conference this year. What's it been like for Tri-City trying to find your way a younger team this year?
I mean, I feel like it's just trying to pave the way for the younger guys. I was there once. It doesn't feel like it was too long ago. I mean, we're one of the youngest teams in the league, and we're just trying to get better every day and push towards the ultimate goal of making the playoffs.
Okay, Parker, you're still right in the playoff hunt here for sure. Appreciate you spending some time with us here. Thanks again.
All right, thank you.
Hey, that's the show. Thanks to our guests, as well thanks to Regan in Kelowna for his help. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL broadcast partners and Bauer Hockey.